Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You are tuned in to Americana Music Profiles. Thanks for joining us for the second season, brought to you exclusively by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine.
Man, it's people like you that make it possible for us to get out here and enjoy this life.
Thank you for getting in touch with me. I'm so glad you love what we do.
Thank you for your help with everything, Greg. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing you've got going there.
I'm your host and publisher, Greg Tutwiler. Now let's get to this week's show. My guest for this episode of Americana Music Profiles is John Smith. John, along with his partner Erica Haskell, in 2006 founded Free Dirt Records. Born out of a preservation project the two of them were working on while employed at Smithsonian Folkways Records. Today, from their headquarters in Tacoma, D.C., they represent nearly a dozen artists, providing not just management, but also distribution and publishing administration. Well, hi, John. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. It's good to talk to you. I appreciate the opportunity. So give me a little bit of background about yourself leading up to starting Free Dirt Records.
Yeah, well, I've been in the music industry for, about 20 years now, I guess.
Okay.
Grew up in Olympia, Washington, and after high school moved up to Seattle. And that was during the time, that was the early 90s. That's when everybody was moving up to Seattle from all over the country. Really.
Right, yeah.
Just because it was so in the news and the music coming out of that
right.
Part of the world was so popular and so visible. I didn't move up there because of that. I mean, I'd grown up in the Pacific Northwest. I moved up there just for college.
Okay.
But just being in that sort of scene and that that is a really special thing to experience. I was interested in music earlier than that. All of that did not spur my interest in music. I was very much interested in the business before that. Got my start working in a record store. Became a DJ at a local radio station, Chaos, in Olympia, Washington. Was working with local music distributors in the area as an account service rep,
mm-hmm.
DJing at a nightclub, doing all these sorts of things, doing whatever I could to be a part of the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then an opportunity came along to work at Smithsonian Folkways Recording.
Oh, yeah,
record
sure.
Label,
cool.
Smithsonian
mm-hmm.
Institution. And I got that job and moved out to D.C. and spent the next 15 years there. And that's the core of my my industry experience. About halfway through that experience, I decided to start a little record company on the side with one of my colleagues, former intern at Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Erica Haskell.
Okay.
And we started a little side record label, and that's kind of how that started back in 2006. So,
did you have a particular artist that you started out working with? What was the prompt that said, "Yeah, hey, let's go ahead and do this"?
Well, Erica and I, a couple of years before that, started working on a project for the Smithsonian. We were working with the late, great Bruce Utah Phillips, folk singer who lived in California for many years.
Okay.
Erica Haskell actually grew up with him and his wife living on their property for a couple of years.
Oh, cool.
So she grew up with Utah, and she told me about that. And I had known about Utah through Anita Franco's connections and just, you know, learning about folk music and all of that, working at the Smithsonian, I was very intrigued, and we started talking, and at that time, we found out that Utah was working on a sort of a greatest hits of swan song, an anthology of sorts,
mm-hmm.
and we got very involved with helping him do that.
Okay.
So we spent the next 4 years producing that recording for him. And when we finished, we were like, that was fun. Let's try doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the label started pretty
okay.
much. After the Utah Phillips album that we produced was wrapped up, we said, yeah, let's try it again.
Yeah.
So that's how it got started.
Where did the name come from?
Oh, goodness.
Free Dirt.
Free Dirt is, you know, when I was little, we used to drive. I was probably, what, 4 or 5 years old, and this for some reason this just got ingrained in my head. We used to drive this one stretch of road between the house that I grew up in and, I don't know, the grocery store or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just always this humongous sign on the side of the road that said Free Dirt. And that always just was burned in my memory.
Yeah.
And when Erica and I were thinking about names, that just kind of popped up.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was something that was just kind of ingrained in my head. And we were looking for something that kind of invokes American roots music.
Sure.
And that was
that
was the name that came up.
That's,
so, yeah.
That's funny. We have a local bluegrass group here, and they call themselves Loose Gravel, and you know, comes from the road sign, you know, Loose Gravel. So I like that. That's cool.
Right. Yeah. that's kind of how that is.
It's actually more fun that it's that way than some deep philosophical. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, it's just that name from my childhood that kind of sticks out. You
know, I know. I wish I could say it meant something more, but yeah.
Yeah.
It does not.
It's
just a sign on the side of the road.
Sure. Okay. So, I looking over some of the information in your web material here, I have a couple statements that kind of stick out for me that I'm curious about. One of them is that you're looking to create work that you hope educates and enlightens, and the other one was seek to unearth and preserve archival traditional music. Tell me a little bit about where that's coming from.
Well, working at the Smithsonian and being a part of such a great mission-driven, historical-based record label like Smithsonian Folkways was very influential on me. The person that started all that was Moses Ash, who started Folkways Records back in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
And the label Folkways Records was later acquired by the Smithsonian in 87.
Okay.
And what Moses Ash did, what his mission was, and what Smithsonian Folkways' mission is now and will continue to be, definitely has an influence on what we do. So preserving music, educating people, having a mission than just it's more than just entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously music is entertainment. Music brings us a lot of joy in the world, but it does so much more than that. And we want to also focus on those other things as well. So education is a big part of what we want to do. Enlightening people, letting people know about, cultures they may have not have heard of before or are underrepresented. Subject matters of authors and lecturers about ideas that people have never maybe have heard before or represented. Those are the types of things that we want to strive to do, and it's a big part of what we do, and the core of what Moses Ash tried to accomplish and what Smithsonian Folkways is currently doing is definitely a huge influence on what we do.
How much of that comes into play when you guys select artists that you want to work with? Do you seek them out, or artists coming to you guys and saying, "Hey, I like the mission of the label. Can we work together?"
I think it's a little of both. We're pretty busy folks. You know, we try to get out there and actively look for artists. But, you know, it's sometimes they just kind of fall in your lap.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a little of both. I mean, yeah, I don't know what happens more, really. I kind of think that maybe that people come to us a little bit more. I mean, you know, I think, as you know, the music industry is very competitive, and there's a lot of artists
sure.
looking for opportunities, looking for partners, team members, and we get a lot of solicitations, and, you know, we probably see, I don't know, we probably see about between 5 and 10 a week at this point.
Really? Okay.
Which has increased over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
imagine.
Our profile has increased to where people are paying attention to us a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, we don't have time to listen to all of that, but we do try. We make an effort. And every once in a while, out of, you know, one out of maybe 100 or so, we'll hear and say, wow, that actually does sound pretty good. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a little both, but if you wanted to say what happens more often, I'd say people come to us first. Yeah,
I noticed on your website you had a list of some of the artists you work with. One of them was one of our cover artists, the Hackensaw Boys. And do you have a number of artists where you feel like, okay, you know, we can only work with X. If we work with more than that, it's probably going to stress us out. Do you have a criteria for deciding? Because I one of the other groups was on there was a group called the Wilders, who I love their music, but I also realize that they're not very active right now. How do you determine, you know, what's a good number to work with in order to be able to service everyone effectively?
Well, right now we are estimating that our capacity for album releases over the course of a year is about a half a dozen.
Okay.
Depending on the project and the release, we might be able to take on one or two more. So it actually doesn't come down to artists, because just like you said, I mean, we represent the Wilders, and unfortunately they are inactive right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to be able to tell more people about them. They are
amazing. Yeah,
I mean, they were the first artists that we really worked with, other than Utah Phillips.
Okay.
And I miss those guys. I miss that band a lot. I'm obviously still in contact with them, and the individual artists in the band are still active. Betsy Ellis being one of them,
mm-hmm.
Who's a great, fantastic fiddle player. But yeah, it just depends on how active they are. I mean, someone like Hackensaw Boys are incredibly active. If we were to have, you know, a number of other artists like that, I mean, we could probably handle maybe about a half dozen of those artists.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, we like to keep it small. We're grassroots, you know. We've never had any sort of huge ambitions. Of course, we'd like to be more visible. We'd like to be bigger, but we're not in it to grow the company. That's not our purpose. Our
mm-hmm.
purpose is to meet our mission, make a living, and have fun doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we've been talking about a little bit about rebranding, you know, the record label and coming up with some interesting slogans and whatnot. One of the things that we came up with the other day was actually something that Utah Phillips used to say, was making a living, not a killing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we, you know, we like that. We
yeah.
like, that's kind of how we operate. We're not in it to be huge or anything. We're in it we have missions that we want to meet, and we want to have fun, and,
sure.
and we want to do it in our own way, and we want to do it in a grassroots way that meets the mission of the artists that we work with as well. So,
and I think for people that maybe are a little on the outside of the industry listening to this, I think it's worth mentioning too that you guys do other things. You work with distribution, business and tour management, publishing and administration. So there's more, and I don't think all record labels or what you might call full service. So do you do that for everyone? Is that part of the deal? If I'm a signed artist, I'm going to get all of that, or do you kind of pick and choose depending on what the individual needs?
It depends on the individual needs of the artist, and any artists that aren't necessarily signed to the record label, we certainly, you know, consider. So just because you're on the label doesn't mean that we do your publishing administration, and just because we do your publishing administration doesn't mean you're on our label.
Okay.
So it's a mixture of things. We're not doing one or all things for all people.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes down to what our goals are and what the artist's goals are. The artist's goals being first and foremost, what they need, what their goals are. So when we are talking to an artist, we're talking to them about what their needs are, and we kind of match those with what we can do for them. It's individually tailored, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. We're not
right.
necessarily throwing everything down for them. We're looking at what they need. It's not all or nothing. It just depends on what they need.
Do you have a studio as well, or do you contract with studios if an artist needs a new product?
We do not have a studio. No, there's a lot of great studios in town. In town being Washington D.C.
Uh-huh.
We're located in Northwest D.C. Close to the Maryland D.C. border. Right across the border from us is Airshow Mastering and Charlie Pilzer. That's one great
sure.
studio for sure.
Yeah,
there's a number of them around town. So we have lots of folks that we like to work with and recommend.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, we don't have any facilities of our own, unfortunately. It's something that we would love to do, but it's just a matter of priorities and resources
sure.
available. So
okay.
we concentrate on what we're best at, and that's, you know, the business side of things. We like to rely on folks like Airshow and Charlie, you know, for the audio engineering side of things.
Yeah. Okay. And I think on your website I see a piece of fairly recent news that you guys merged with another company. Is that right?
Yeah, that is recent. That is actually it's not so much a merging as a merging of forces, really.
Right.
We've kept our management and record label divisions of our companies kind of separate under separate names.
Okay.
Over the years, and really what that is the merging of forces and merging under one name.
Okay.
Just so people can better understand on the surface what we do and what we're about.
Sure.
And,
yeah, it makes sense.
It's actually just more out of convenience than anything. So yeah, I mean, as much as I'd like to say we've merged with a huge company, we have not. It's more of
an
collaboration
asset.
All of our smaller brands into bigger ones.
Yeah. Okay. So what's the future look like? 2, 5, 10 years? What do you guys have some bigger goals as a record label that you're working towards?
Well, as you probably know, the music industry is a pretty challenging one.
Yeah.
I think that we, first and foremost, we want to, you know, keep to our mission. We want to keep releasing recordings that we love, that we feel are underserved, and serve artists, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's our goal. We don't really talk about our long-term plans, really. I mean, I think the fact that the music industry is changing so rapidly, it's a really difficult thing to plan for.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're taking into consideration the changing environment, the new technologies, the way people consume music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're going to just stay grassroots and stay kind of, you know, keep small and not, you know, get overwhelmed by all of this change in technology too much.
Sure.
I don't know. It's tough to say. It's really hard to gauge where we're headed and how we proceed with that. But I mean, as long as we're staying true to our mission and working with artists that we really enjoy working with and we really love the art that they're releasing out into the world, everything else just kind of falls into place.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
so
that's good.
We don't have like a 5-year you know, strategic plan with forecasting of sales and things like that. We we don't do a lot of that.
Okay.
For better or for worse. But we're just feeling it's kind of an organic thing, you know. If we just keep doing what we're doing, you know, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
And we'll and if we are doing that, then we're definitely okay.
I mean,
that's what we want to do. We want to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and, that's cool.
As far as working with any specific artists, well, we don't have any immediate plans. We do have a schedule for 2017. We've got a couple of things that are in the works that I hope to be able to announce soon. But yeah, we're just going to keep doing what we do and releasing albums and serving artists.
And if people want to track you down, either they want to know more about what you do or maybe look to purchase music from some of the artists or maybe not to make your job any more difficult, but if an artist wants to pursue a conversation with you about maybe working together, how can people reach out to you, find you? Where can they get a hold of you at?
The website's the best way to get a hold of us. It's always best to check out what we're actually doing and have a closer look at our mission statements.
Sure.
And what we are looking to accomplish and the types of artists that we work with. You know, I think it's important for artists that are looking for team members and partners to do their homework a little bit and look at what those potential partners, what else they're doing, and seeing if it's a good fit. If they think it's a good fit, then they should reach out. And like I said, we try our best to, you know, listen to unsolicited material, you know, listen to submissions like that. We certainly can't promise to get to everything, but we do try.
Sure.
And if an artist is interested, they can certainly reach out via the email address on the website. We'll do our best to, you know, try to have a listen. And one thing, going back to what we were talking about with what we'd, you know, like to do in the next 2 to 5 years, I mean, one thing is that we would like to work with local artists, local being the Mid-Atlantic region.
Uh-huh.
It's something that we haven't done a whole lot in the past. And not because we, not for any specific reason, it's just opportunities have come up to work with artists from other regions in the country. And, yeah, I mean, we recognize that there are, there's a lot of talented artists here in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Right.
And we are looking to maybe put a little bit more emphasis on that. So.
And the website is freedirt.net, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Okay, www.freedirt.net. Thanks, Sean. Good stuff, man. I appreciate the opportunity to learn more about what you guys do.
Yeah, thanks for talking. That was fun.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.